Happy Sabbath and Shabbat Shalom to everyone. When I started this series on Joshua, my goal was to read every book, every word in the book. I don't know if you've noticed, up until now, I've read every chapter completely. We're at chapter 12, and I wanted to finish today, so we got a lot of reading to do, guys. Just kidding. I'm not going to attempt to read all those chapters. We have 12 more chapters to go, but I'm hoping to do a quick overview of a lot of this. So, last we saw was Joshua and the northern conquest. So now we're going to start at chapter 12. And chapter 12 is about the defeated kings. The first six chapters are about the kings that were defeated by Moses and the army before they crossed the Jordan. And there were two kings and two territories that were defeated, and they took over those lands. And then the rest of the chapter, verses 7 through 24, are about the 31 kings and territories that were defeated with Joshua leading. And then we pick up in chapter 13. In 13, 1 through 7, it talks about this, and I'm going to read this part. We're at Joshua 13, 1 through 7. And I just want to say, this to me is what's amazing about the Bible. Because so many times before I read the Bible and understood it and knew it, I thought it was all just rainbows and butterflies, honestly. And so this is one of those things where we see the ugly bumps or what's left of what needs to be conquered. The job was not finished by Joshua. Now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and Jehovah said to him, "You are old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed." So what he's telling Joshua here is, you're past the time of leading this people, and it's okay. You've done your part. This is the land that yet remains, all the territory of the Philistines and all that of the Geshurites, from Sihor, which is east of Egypt, as far as the border of Ekron, northward, which is counted as Canaanite. The five lords of the Philistines, the Gazites, the Ashdodites, the Ashkenites, the Gittites, the Ekronites, also the Avites, from the south, all the land of the Canaanites, and Mira, that belongs to the Sidonians, as far as Aphek, to the border of the Amorites, the land of the Gibeonites, and all Lebanon, towards sunrise, from Baal Gad, below Mount Hermon, as far as the entrance of Hamath, all the inhabitants of the mountains, from Lebanon, as far as the brook Mishrapah, and all the Sidonians, them I will drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide it by lot to Israel as an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now, therefore, divide this land as an inheritance to the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. I just think it's amazing that God would point out how much is left to be done. They had to finish, or he was going to finish this work for them. So then, throughout chapter 13, 8, all the way to chapter 21 is the division of the land. And there are some really cool stories as you read through it, and how he divides the land, and it really is basically a layout of how they need to divide the land. But within it are some other stories. And here we come to Caleb. So first, He talks about Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, who are on the, that's chapter 13. And then in chapter 12, they start to divide the land among the other tribes. And where he starts is Caleb. Then the children of Judah, this is Joshua 14, 6. And I'm going to be reading through till the end of the chapter. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which Jehovah said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of Jehovah, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, we made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed Jehovah my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed Jehovah my God.' And now, behold, Jehovah has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years." I wanted to point this out. So if he was 40 when they left, when they scouted out the land, they were in exile for 40 years, or in the wilderness for 40 years, and it's been 45 years. That means they've been in the land for 5 years. So they have been at war all that time for 5 years. "Ever since Jehovah spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." Now, if that isn't amazing, I woke up yesterday feeling a ton better than I did today. I mean, I don't know, from day to day, I get aches and pains. So just to hear Caleb say that he has the strength that he had when he was 40 at 85. "Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which Jehovah spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that Jehovah will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as Jehovah said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed Jehovah, God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. And then it continues. It splits the land for Judah. And then we come back to Caleb. And Caleb, in Joshua chapter 15, verses 13 through 19. "Now to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of Jehovah to Joshua, namely Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there." So he really must have felt as good as he did when he was 40. He went there and he drove out the remaining tribes that were in this town. "Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir. Formerly the name of Debir was Kiriath Sefer. And Caleb said, he who attacks Kiriath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter, as wife. So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as wife. Now it was so, when she came to him, that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, 'What do you wish?' She answered, give me a blessing. Since you have given me the land in the south, give me also the springs of water. So he gave her the upper springs and lower springs. But then we continue, and it continues with the land of Judah, the cities of Judah, and then Ephraim and the other half tribe of Manasseh. And we continue on throughout this. And we see how he divides the lands. I would suggest, if you have time this weekend, to maybe just try to go through and see how he does it. It is pretty amazing, some of the things, especially some of the spots he mentions as you go through. You'll remember them in stories and things like that. But then we get to chapter 20, and that is where it sort of goes into the cities of refuge. And you can see why I didn't want to read all this. This is a lot. and it tells us about the cities of refuge, what they are, where they are. And then it goes into the last chapter of the dividing up of the land is chapter 21, where he sets up the cities for the Levites. He gives them cities within each territory, and he just splits them up so that they can minister to the whole country of Israel, the whole people. And it's just very exciting to read through that. Sorry, I'm not picking anything out specifically, but and then at the end of 21, the promise is fulfilled. So Jehovah gave to Israel, this is chapter 21, 43 to the end of the chapter. So Jehovah gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. Jehovah gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. Jehovah delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which Jehovah had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. So that's how, that's them dividing the land. Then in chapter 22, verses 1 through 9 are about Joshua telling the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh to return home, and they go home to their lands across the Jordan. And we're going to pick up in Joshua 22, verses 10 through 34. And when they came to the region of the Jordan, which is in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, a great, impressive altar. Now the children of Israel heard someone say, "Behold, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar on the frontier of the land of Canaan, in the region of the Jordan, on the children of Israel's side." And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered together at Shiloh to go to war against them. So they gathered this group of warriors in Shiloh, and they were going to come against those because they had built an altar. Then the children of Israel sent Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, and with him 10 rulers, one ruler each from the chief house of every tribe of Israel, and each one was the head of the house of his father among the divisions of Israel. Then they came to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, to the land of Gilead, and they spoke with them. Well, before we go on, I wanted to go back and look at Phinehas. Who was Phinehas? Turn with me to Exodus 6, 25. In Exodus 6:25, we see the birth of a son. Eleazar, Aaron's son, took for himself one of the daughters of Phetuel as wife, and she bore him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers of the house of the Levites according to their families. Phinehas was the son of Eleazar, and Eleazar was the son of Aaron. Phinehas was the grandson of Aaron. Let's read a little bit more about him in Numbers 25, 4 through 9. 25 or 26? I wrote 25. Okay. Then Jehovah said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before Jehovah, out in the sun, that the fierce anger of Jehovah may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Every one of you, kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor." And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body, so the plague was stopped among the children of Israel, and those who died in the plague were 24,000. Phinehas didn't have a lot of fear to take on people that were not following the ways of God. We're going to read again and read some more in Numbers 31, 5 through 8. Again, Numbers 31, 5 through 8. So there were recruited from the divisions of Israel 1,000 from each tribe, 12,000 armed for war. Then Moses sent them to war, 1,000 from each tribe. He sent them to war with Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, with the whole articles and the signal trumpets in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites, just as Jehovah commanded Moses, and they killed all the males. They killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed, Evah, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. So Phinehas has seen war. Of course, he probably didn't battle in it, but he was there. He had the trumpets. He was the one alarming them. So they are prepared for war at this time. So we'll continue on with the story. Picking up in Joshua 22, verse 16. Thus says the whole congregation of Jehovah, "What treachery is this that you have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following Jehovah, in that you have built for yourselves an altar, that you might rebel this day against Jehovah? Is the iniquity of Peor not enough for us, from which we are not cleansed till this day? Although there was a plague in the congregation of Jehovah, but that you must turn away this day from following Jehovah, and it shall be, if you rebel today against Jehovah, that tomorrow he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel. Nevertheless, in the land of your possession is unclean, then cross over to the land of the possession of Jehovah." I love this. He gives him an out right here. He's like, if you guys think this land's unclean, that you need an altar, just come back over with us. We'll get this. We'll find a place for you. We'll rezone everything. We'll make sure that you have a place. But that's not what happens. Why did I lose my spot? 19? Okay. "And take position among us, but do not rebel against Jehovah, nor rebel against us by building yourselves an altar besides the altar of Jehovah our God. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? and that man did not perish alone in his iniquity. So I will write down 21 so I remember where I'm at. So here, Achan is mentioned. Do you remember the story of Achan? You don't need to. I'm going to tell you anyway. Achan was the man back in Joshua 7. Do you remember last week when Aaron was teaching, he talked about Jericho and what was to happen at Jericho was that all the spoils were to go to God. Everything was to go to God at this time. But Achan, in verses 19 through 21, Joshua 7, 19 through 21. Now Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to Jehovah God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against Jehovah God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it." Achan had stolen what was God's. And because of that, all of the tribe of Israel was punished. They presumptuously went to Ai and thought that they could defeat them because it was a smaller city and they thought that they could handle this. But they didn't go to God first. And because of that, this sin of Achan was hidden from them. And they lost. And their hearts melted. That's not just they lost and, oh well, we'll come back another day. They knew that God was with them, and here, God wasn't with them. And so they had been confused, but this sin had come to light, and so then they corrected it. And Phinehas is taking that sin and saying, if God was going to do that to them, what more is he going to do to all of us because we're allowing you to have an altar outside of his tabernacle at that time? Then the children of Reuben, I'm picking back up in Joshua 22, verse 21. Then the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and said to the heads of the divisions of Israel, "Jehovah, God of gods, Jehovah, God of gods, he knows, and let Israel itself know, if it is in rebellion or if in treachery against Jehovah, do not save us this day. If we have built ourselves an altar to turn from following Jehovah, or if to offer on it burnt offerings or grain offerings, or if to offer peace offerings on it, let Jehovah himself require an account. But in fact, we have done it for fear, for a reason, saying, in time to come, your descendants may speak to our descendants, saying, what have you to do with Jehovah, God of Israel? For Jehovah has made the Jordan a border between you and us. You, children of Reuben and children of Gad, you have no part in Jehovah. So your descendants would make our descendants cease fearing Jehovah. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build ourselves an altar, not for burnt offering nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness between you and us and our generations after us, that we may perform the service of Jehovah before him with our burnt offerings, with our sacrifices, and with our peace offerings, that your descendants may not say to our descendants in time to come, you have no part in Jehovah. I'm going to stop there for right now, chapter, verse 27. I look at these verses, and I don't know if you've had discussions with people that say the Moedim or the feasts of God are no more because we don't need to do that anymore. I've discussed with them, and I look at this picture and I say, this is exactly why we need to do those things. We need to keep in remembrance who we are and where we belong and what we are a part of. I'm not saying we belong in the land of Israel at this time. Don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is we are part of Israel. We are part with them. We are grafted in, and we have these things to remind us of who we are and where we belong. And that's ultimately to Jehovah our God. Picking up, going back to Joshua 22:28. Therefore, we said that it will be when they say this to us, to our generations, in time to come, that we may say, here is the replica of the altar of Jehovah, which our fathers made, though not for burnt offerings nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between you and us. Far be it from us that we should rebel against Jehovah and turn from following Jehovah this day, to build an altar for burnt offerings, for grain offerings, or for sacrifices, besides the altar of Jehovah, our God, which is before his tabernacle. Now when Phinehas the priest and the rulers of the congregation, the heads of the divisions of Israel, who were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, the children of Manasseh spoke, it pleased them. Then Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said to the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh, this day we perceive that Jehovah is among us, because you have not committed this treachery against Jehovah. Now you have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of Jehovah. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the rulers returned from the children of Reuben, children of Gad, and the children of from the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought back word to them. So the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God. They spoke no more of going against them in battle to destroy the land where the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar witness, for it is a witness between us that Jehovah is God. I just think that that's a really amazing story. First, Joshua sends these people home who had fought with them, who'd stood side by side with them, who'd fought for the lands of their brothers, and then return home, and they built this altar. Now, there was confusion among the Israelites that weren't part of that. They didn't understand what was going on or why they'd do such a thing. So they went and talked with them. And it's just amazing to me to see the brotherly love here, the way they treated each other. First, Phinehas says, if this land isn't good enough for you, come back. We'll fit you in. This wasn't a small amount of people. They had divided their land. They had decided whose is whose and whose is what. And he says, we'll figure it out. If that's a problem, come with us. We don't want you using an altar outside of the tabernacle. But they explained themselves. They said, we're just building this as a witness to who, so your children and our children will know where we belong. This is a symbol of the tabernacle, which the tabernacle was a symbol of the tabernacle of God. So, I mean, it's just so beautiful how all these things work together. Sorry, I need to move on because we got two more chapters to do, and I really did want to read through both of these. I don't know if I'll have time, but I'll try. So now we pick up in Joshua 23. And we see Joshua pull together the tribes. Now it came to pass a long time after, I have to admit, this really bothers me. Now it came to pass a long time after Jehovah had given rest to Israel. So this had happened. They divided the land. How long was it? Was it 5 years? Was it 20 years? How long did they have? I don't know what a long time is. And so I don't know how much rest. I don't know exactly how that breaks down. But it was a long time after Jehovah had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. Here we go again. Poor Joshua. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, Joshua finally gives in here, I am old, advanced in age. You have seen all that Jehovah your God has done to all these nations because of you. For Jehovah your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And Jehovah your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, so you shall possess their land, as Jehovah your God promised you. Therefore, be very courageous to keep up and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or the left, and lest you go among these nations. These who remain among you, you shall not make mention of their name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. But you shall hold fast to Jehovah your God, as you have done to this day. For Jehovah has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For Jehovah your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love Jehovah your God, or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you, know for certain that Jehovah your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from the good land which Jehovah your God has given you. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which Jehovah your God spoke concerning you. When he says that, I just want everyone to make sure they know, especially little guys, he's saying that he's preparing to die. When he says, I'm going the way of all the earth, he's preparing to die. God spoke concerning you all that had come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you, which Jehovah your God promised you, so Jehovah will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land, which Jehovah your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of Jehovah your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed down to them, then the anger of Jehovah will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given. The story we read earlier about Phinehas, he was concerned about the sin of a few spoiling it for all. Here he's making sure that they each look personally to their own, what they need to do, who they need to be, who they are. It picks up more in 24. So then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, Thus says Jehovah, God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, they dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to Jehovah, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you. But I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel. And he sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went out over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you. Also the two kings of the Amorites, but also not with your sword or with your bow, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, in cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them and eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear Jehovah, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve Jehovah, and if it seems evil to you to serve Jehovah, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, they were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake Jehovah to serve other gods. For Jehovah our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. Joshua says here, don't take this lightly. Don't just do this because I'm here. Decide. Decide now. Choose Jehovah or choose the other gods, but make that choice and do it. And I don't know if you realize this, but what they're doing is renewing the covenant that God made with them at the Mount of, that one mount. Sorry. Thank you. Sinai. That's right, Mount Sinai. Sorry. So the people answered and said, far be it, oh, I already said that. Let's skip down to 18. Joshua 24, 18. I'm going to try to finish this. And Jehovah drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land, who also will serve Jehovah, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve Jehovah, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake Jehovah and serve your foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve Jehovah. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen Jehovah for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to Jehovah God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, Jehovah our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of Jehovah. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of which Jehovah, which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. I hope you saw that. I hope you saw that there were two witnesses here. They were their own witness, and the witness of this stone, this pillar, this is so that they could not deny it. Now it came to pass, after these things, that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Jehovah, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnah-Serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gaash. Israel served Jehovah all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of Jehovah, which he had done for Israel. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem, in the plot of the ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which had become an inheritance of children of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. They buried him in a hill belonging to Phinehas' son, which was given to him in the mountains of Ephraim. I know that a lot of us have in our homes those words of Joshua somewhere. But I just hope that day by day, as we see the challenges, that we can say that. For me and my house, we're going to follow Jehovah. And I pray that for each and every one of you. Shabbat Shalom.